Time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heaven. Time to be born, time to die. Time to plant, and time to uproot. Time to kill, and a time to heal. Time to tear down, and a time to build. Time to weep, and a time to laugh. Time to mourn, and a time. Father in heaven, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we pray that you may give us your word. Help us to see what we need to see within this word, Lord. Help us, help it, to help us in our walk with you. Thank you, Lord, once again for this opportunity to be able to join together on this morning, to sing songs of praise to you, to be able to give back to you, Lord, to be able to remember your sacrifice on the cross for us. Now, your help minister to our hearts, to our minds, to our prayer. I believe I've shared with you guys about my upbringing and how we were constantly in a state of change. I've never gone to school. For my upbringing for 2 years. We were constantly moving. My parents divorced probably when I was around 10 years old. We were already moving before that. My father was a Pentecostal preacher. And sometimes we would go to a church. I remember we were sent to Baltimore. So we moved to Baltimore. We moved to Delaware. We lived in Connecticut. We lived in upstate New York. We lived in here, all over Delaware, different places. Never once again to any school more than 2 years. So, if you ever talk to me and talk about moving, Brother Reyes, can you help me move? I will, and I do, and I have. But I'm going to admit something to you. I hate it. I hate moving. Done it too much. But when I stop and I think about all of it, as much as we hated it, now I see a lot of blessings that came as a result of constantly being put in different positions where I had to adapt. You know, a few people have mentioned this. Man, you just look so natural on the stage. You look natural in front of people. You know why? I've been put in many predicaments where I just had to sink or swim. I was always the new kid. I was always having to adapt to new environments. I was always having to adapt to different people and all of those things. And while I hated it, God used it. God grew me through those experiences. God showed me different things. God allowed me to interact with different people in different places and all that. And all of that helped me to see something about myself. Not working, huh? Okay.
Sometimes the lights are on, but still don't work. Okay. All right, hopefully that's better. So we're always in a state of change, and so we had to kind of learn how to roll with the punches. Why don't you look at this image again? I've used this image before in another sermon. But this time I want to look at it from the perspective of change in our lives. You know, one thing that we know is change is inevitable. Change is a constant. The only thing constant is change, right? We're always going to be in a new stage, a new arena. There's always going to be something new that's coming. And while sometimes we get very settled with where we are, we recognize that at some point, you know, either something's going to be presented to us that's going to force us in another direction, or we're going to have to adopt and change our mentality, our location, our job. Your health is going to change, your finances. Praise God. Hopefully they change for the better, right? But everything around us, everything we touch is going to change. And so change is something that we constantly need to be talking about because it affects every single one of us. And so as we look at Ecclesiastes, I mean, we're looking at the wise man Solomon, who recognized and could see these beautiful things and penned them down for us, that change is a constant of life. And so the first thing we want to talk about change is the fact, as I already stated, change is inevitable. You can't run away from change. It'll find you. Change will find you. And wherever you get to, you'll find that it's there. And so I was thinking about the Israelites and their journey and leaving. Obviously, they were crying out to God and asking God to deliver them from their captives. And as they did, they ran. And they were able, God was able to move them from being slaves to now being free. But guess what? That one change, while it was beautiful, disrupted something in their lives, right? Change, while it comes in, it disrupts. It takes you out of your norm. It takes you remember them crying back after they were in the wilderness and they were crying back. What were they asking for? They were asking for something constant. They were asking for something they remembered that was readily available at all times. They want the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the melons from this land where they were slaves. They wanted to revert back and go back to getting that, because where they were right now was uncomfortable. It was different. And that's a reminder of life. Life isn't constant. Life is up and down, ebbs and flows, highs and lows. That's what life is all about. And we have to be able to adapt to change. If we can't adapt to change, first of all, change doesn't ask you if you want to. Change doesn't ask you if you want to. It begins to happen. And I don't know if you've ever, I mean, there are a few different books that talk about that. Our iceberg is melting. What's the one with the four mice? Who Moved My Cheese? You know, all these are books that are designed to show us that change is inevitable. It is going to come. Yeah. Think about this for a moment. There were some people that said, those computers, I'll never, right? And guess what? Everybody right now. I mean, even some of the oldest people in this congregation are using computers. And if you're not using the computer like that, you've got a computer probably in your hand, right? It's around us everywhere. You have to. So at some point, whether you decide to change with the program and go with it or not, or fight against it, the winds of change continue to blow, and they will move us eventually. Why is it hard for us to change? Well, of course, the fear. I mean, even if you're in a bad situation, I've seen this, you know, as I tell you, we grew up in a lot of different places, and I've seen a lot of different people, and I've seen some people who are even in bad conditions but had a desire to get out and get more than what they had, and a desire to grow in their careers and financially and all these type of areas. And then there were some that just, I'm settled. The system got me, you know, and they just kind of stay right there. And so when we think about change, we recognize that everyone is not an adopter to change. Everyone doesn't just readily go along with change. There are some people, look, I want it the way it was back in 1955. Yeah, I wasn't even born, so I don't want it back in 55, all right? I wasn't even thought of, all right? What do we need to do? Acknowledge our fears. You know, as we were talking about the Israelites journeying out of Egypt and getting to that Red Sea moment, and one thing we can be assured of is that there was a lot of fear going on in that moment. As they're looking back and seeing Pharaoh on their trails, and this great ocean, this great sea in front of them, you know, they recognize they're in a pretty precarious place. They are, this is a challenge that we can't overcome. And so fear naturally filled up in them. Until, of course, God comes and splits open that Red Sea and allows them to walk over. What am I saying? There are some times where, and fear is real. There's nothing wrong with fear. There's nothing wrong with the Israelites being at that moment and being fearful. The problem is when fear, when we allow fear to jump into the driver's seat and start controlling where you're going. It's kind of like, you know, the Bible tells you, be angry and what? And sin not. Right? The anger isn't a problem. It's what you do when anger jumps in that seat and starts taking over and controlling and starts moving you into, you know, the anger and sin not. Okay, all right. Nobody's ever seen that. You know, you get angry and you strike instead of doing what the Lord showed us to do. Right? So, but what we want to do is be fearful. You can have that fear, but then allow God to lead and direct. And look what happens. See, these are moments, and I'm sure you've had them. I know I've had many of them. Moments where I'm confronted with fear. It's right before me. I'm fretting it. I'm thinking about it. I'm, you know, and it's consuming me. It's consuming me. And then all of a sudden, God comes in. And everything you were worrying about, he clears it up. Anybody ever had that happen in your life? And you blew it up. You made it big. You continue to feed the wolf, and the wolf gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden, God comes in and goes, this little thing that you're worrying about. I want to ask you a question. When that has happened, what has that done to your faith? I'll tell you what it should do. It's to strengthen your faith, absolutely. And think about the children of Israel having to tell this story to their children about what God did. Listen, we're reading it right now and gaining inspiration from it. Because when God comes in, see, and this is what I'm trying to say, in those moments of change and transition and uncomfortability and all of that, in the moments when fear would pen up within us and it's built up and try to direct and change us, in those same moments that God then comes in and clears the path and opens the way and opens a door that we never saw, in those moments, those are great moments of rejoicing. Those are moments to reflect on later in the future of what God did. You know, those are the same moments that David had with the lion and the bear that he could point back to. Those are the same that, you know, that you see many of God's people referring back to and thinking back to God. Listen to David in the Psalms referring back to the ways in which God had saved him, had continued to deliver him from his enemies, had continued to direct his paths, all these type of things. And these are moments. I don't know, for me, when I think of that moment when I was in the courtroom, fearful of losing my son. I put custody for my son. That, you know, and if many of you don't know, I had a son before Crystal and I were married. And I went to court. And in court, there was so much fear standing before. And I'm praying to the Lord. I knew that I could raise my son. I knew I should take care of him. I knew that I could do it. And I was hoping that the court system knew that too. And so, and this is really the time when I really started giving my life back to the Lord and really started to serve him again. And when I walked in there confidently, but still with fear. You can have faith and fear right there, once again, as long as you don't allow fear to stop and block faith, right? It was okay for Peter to be walking on water and to have a little fear, except his problem was he took his eyes off Jesus, right? You keep your eyes on Jesus even while the storm is there, and it'll keep you up. Anyway, let me get back to this, because, you know, I walk into that courtroom with that fear And yet, as we go through our deliberations and all that, when it, you know, I can tell you all the specifics later, but when it was all said and done, I came out victorious, raised my son, and for a couple years before I met Crystal, I had the privilege of doing that as a single father. Was that scary after the fact? Absolutely. Probably more terrifying after the fact. Like, whoa, hold on. I have the responsibility now? Yeah. But once again, you know, these are the things that sometimes, you know, those moments like that, what do they do? When God comes in and saves the day and helps you even to overcome those same fears and gives you that blessing, those are moments of building your faith. And that's why we need to embrace change with faith. You know, in our life, as I said earlier, where it's constantly moving, there's constantly changes that are happening around us, to us, to others, that affects us, you know, and so change is constant motion. Now, I want to think about Noah for a moment. Someone has Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. Wish I could find this number here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And then if you go to Genesis, we're not going to read Genesis 6, 13, and 22, but that tells his story. That tells his story, you know. But the fact is, in Hebrews, it says that he did this how? By faith. Did what? Prepared an ark for the saving of his family. Well, to us, it probably doesn't mean like much, but recognizing that there was no, you know, the storms that we have right now, water didn't fall down the way it did. They hadn't seen that before. They'd never seen that before. The way the world would be watered, would there be a mist that would come up in the morning and wet all the grass? And so that's what they knew. That was the constant. That was the norm of that time. But yet God spoke directly to Noah, shared with Noah what he wanted Noah to do, and he places this in Noah's hands, and Noah now has to do something with this. This is strange. This is a strange request, God. You're asking me to do what? Build a huge ark? I'm not an architect. Live with what? Stinky animals? No, sir. Not me. All right, anyway, if the Lord told me to do it, I would do it. Okay, I'll just tell you that right now. But I wouldn't want to. All right. Build the ark, be with all these animals and all that. And once again, all of this goes contrary to everything he knows. But God said it. You hear that? But God said it. But God made it plain. And him, he had to rest on whether I'm going to lean on my own understanding or whether I'm going to follow what the Lord said. And so even without all the, you know, he once again, what's faith? Faith is operating not in the seen, but in the unseen. In other words, he had never seen rain come from the sky and fall down. He had never seen these great boats. What did you need a boat for if you didn't have any water? He had never seen an ark built like this and this purpose. He didn't know and understand everything that God was even doing with this. But he trusted God. That's the key. He trusted God, even with all the different things that were going on. He had faith and he trusted, put his faith in the Lord. Change brings opportunity. Change brings growth, learning, and new opportunities. Once again, as I was sharing with you, you know, growing up, I lived upstate New York. There's a different mentality upstate than there is in the city. And I lived in the city. Born in Brooklyn. Brooklyn, upstate in a little town called Amsterdam, two completely different worlds. Right? We were one of the only colored families in the whole town. Guess what? I learned to deal with people different than me. Right? Did that help me? Yeah. Well, did I know I was going to be a preacher preaching to a mixed congregation of Caucasian and Black and Hispanic? No, I didn't know. God did. God knew what I would need today, and he pushed me through these winds of change yet many years ago. Well, not so many for some of you, but you know. But he pushed me through those. And think about even in your own life, all the changes God did. And then you look back and reflect and said, man, if God hadn't done that, wow, I wouldn't be, or we wouldn't be, or they wouldn't be, or the kids, or this or that. You see what I'm saying? Change is something that we need to start embracing, not something that we look with fear and say, no, I never want to do it. Everything in this world changes. And a lot of times things change for the better, even though we can't see it at that moment, even though you don't see it at the moment. It brings growth, learning, and new opportunities. And viewing change as a chance, we should also view change as a chance to draw nearer to God and become better versions of self. You see, one thing that happens is when you're kind of out of the norm, it helps you to connect with God a little bit more, doesn't it? You know, you get down, your prayer life gets a little more enhanced when things are going wacko in life, when things are going, you know, it's in constant change and all of that. Lord, help me to deal with this. Lord, help me. I don't know where we're going. Lord, help me, you know, and all of that. So use change even as that to say, look, Lord, I don't know what's happening. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I want to acknowledge you. I want you to direct my path. I want you to lead me, Lord. You know? And this gives us an opportunity. It gives us an opportunity to do things we never thought we could do. You know, I was thinking about Ruth and Naomi. Ruth's husband died, and she was a Moabite. And she told Naomi, look, I'm going to leave. I'm going to, wherever you go, I'll go. Your people are going to be my people. And she leaves her home and she goes, and now she's with God's people. And now, but I want you to see something even greater than just her story. She finds in this change, she finds new families. She finds new community. In this change, she finds new love. In this change, she now is in the very lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're talking about her today. But she had to leave. She had to change. She had to abandon some things in order to embrace some new things that God had for her. Now, you might come to me and say, well, Brother Reyes, what specifically are you talking about? I don't know. I'm talking in generalities for a reason. Because my change and your change is going to be different. It's going to look different. Your area that you're struggling in this is different than your brother and than your sister. But I'm hoping that something this morning can encourage you to just continue to hold on. I know change is scary. Look at all these things. There's denial, there's anger and change, there's sadness, there's disorientation and change, there's frustration, there's uncertainty, there's a sense of loss when there's change. All of those emotions are wrapped up in there because once again, I'm used to my routine. I'm used to this certain order. I'm used to this certain way. I'm used to this schedule. I'm used to this people. I'm used to, you know, this person. I'm used to my health being intact. I'm used to, and so whatever it is, we get used to those things. And whenever something different comes, it's a challenge. You know, God wants to be our shelter in time of storm. He wants to help us through those different changes. Even the disciples had the same challenge too. So all of us are in the same boat. God understands. And he wants to be with us. And he'll lead us every step of the way. Embrace change as an opportunity. And we never know what God is going to do with us. Wherever you are, you know how this lesson lands on your heart and your mind and in your situation. And right now, let's just pray as we ask God to help us in those areas of change. Dear Lord and Savior, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. We ask that you would help us in those areas where you know we stand in need of help. Lord, this world is constantly changing. The seasons change. Our lives, things that happen in our lives also change, Lord. And for that, we ask that you would help us. Help us as we, that we don't get discouraged because of change. Help us that we don't become angry and bitter because of change. Help us to embrace even things we can't understand sometimes, Lord, knowing that if you allowed it, you allowed it, Lord. Help us, Lord. Bless us, guide us, keep us is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and, you know, probably the biggest change that you're ever going to need. If you look at this image here, you can see that this is a walk through life. You know, there's a day that we are born, just like he told us. There's a day we're born, and then there's a day that we're going to pass. And this is every one of us. All of us are going to have to go through this gate. All of us are going to go have to meet death. And so the question is, are you prepared today? Are you prepared? Have you given your life to him? Have you surrendered to Jesus Christ? Have you given yourself to him in baptism that he might wash away your sins and give you entrance into this beautiful family, a place of shelter and safety? Maybe you haven't yet done that. Maybe you've been contemplating it. Maybe you still have questions. If you have questions, please see me afterward. Let's talk about it. This is so important for your eternity. But if you're resolved, if you're ready this morning to give your life to him, won't you come right now? The water is ready. We've got clothes ready. We've got everything ready. If you're ready to be baptized into Jesus Christ this morning for the remission of sins, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation? Just as I am.